Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Continuing with Ronald White, the author of the new book On Great Fields, The Life and Unlikely Heroism of Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. A scholar, a professor, a gifted man with the Bible or with languages, nine languages, an esteemed professor at Bowdoin College, has gone to war and fought bravely and stubbornly for throughout the conflict right to Appomattox Courthouse. He's now come home. He's come home with a very bad wound, a wound that will weaken him the rest of his life. However, there is a task before him that he takes up, not naturally, but because he's drafted into it. He's not the only hero of Maine, but he's certainly a prominent one. And he begins right away with something that is part of his gift. He begins to make speeches to public gatherings about what he saw in the war. And Ron, thank you very much. I have note that the first speech he made about Gettysburg and what happened that day was 1865. Is that correct? Who was he speaking to?
That's correct. He began to speak to various towns in Maine and quickly to various veterans organizations. And let's remember, when he came to Bowdoin College as a student, he was a stammerer. He was a stutterer. And ultimately, he would solve that problem and become professor of rhetoric at Bowdoin College. So now I argue that he will become the foremost speaker after the Civil War about the meaning of the Union and the meaning of America in the last third of the 19th century.
He, however, is a gifted orator, but he's also an intellectual, and you make a deal of the fact, and I followed what I could. He believes in using metaphors to frame the story, similes to advance the story. He's a thrilling speaker, and there's a theme now that will emerge as part of the tension for the rest of the century and into the 20th century. The theme was the Union Army the savior of the America? Was the Confederate Army the devil? Or was the Union Army and the Confederate Army both caught up in a tragedy that left everybody permanently scarred, and we need to accept our fates and work together again? Which side did he fall on right away, Ron?
He fell on the side that you articulate so well, that this was a tragedy, that the task now was reconciliation, not putting down the Confederacy. Yes, putting down the cause of the Confederacy, but not the courage of the Confederate soldiers. He was taking the long view. How could the Union, this wonderful idea, difficult for us to grasp today, a transcendent, almost a religious as well as a political idea, how could we now rejuvenate the meaning of the Union? We had to do so by bringing both sides back together again.
He wants to go back to life, but life has other plans for him. How did he get to be a politician? Whose idea was it that he should run for the governorship? Governors in Maine at this point were one-year posts.
It wasn't his idea. The Republicans in Maine, recognizing the hero of Little Round Top had returned, suggested he run for governor. Actually, a couple of Republican newspapers said, well, why would we elect someone who has no political experience? But they saw the heroism of this man as their trump card, so to speak, and they nominated him for governor, and he was elected to his first term.
Overwhelmingly.
Overwhelmingly,
my numbers here have 69,000 to 42,000. It wasn't close. Now, he's a Republican. Fine. He's a member of the Union Army. Fine. He's not a politician. What does he make of this?
Well, there's a learning curve here. But what he recognizes is that what the so-called reconstruction needs to be in Maine is an economic reconstruction, that this is a state of in the far north still struggling, and as a Republican, he believes the government should step forward with bonds, with funding to help the expansion of the railroads and to begin the expansion of businesses in Maine. That's the only way they're going to be able to get going.
A Brewer and Bangor are very hard hit because has the shipbuilding gone away, or they just didn't need their wood anymore? What happened?
The shipbuilding has gone away. Even some of the lumbering is going away. So he recognizes that they have to have a new basis of their economy.
Maine was very hard hit by the war. My numbers here say 12% dead and 25% wounded in action of the 90,000 who served in Maine. He's just one of the wounded. And
the highest percentage of any state in the Union in terms of casualties was Maine.
The wound, it leads to constant infections, and yet there's still no antibiotics. So how does he deal with the infections?
Well, what we now call internal wounds, we're aware of the external wounds, the amputations that marked Civil War soldiers that everyone saw. What they didn't see was what was happening inside his body. And because he did not complain, many people were even unaware of what he was suffering.
Yes, you repeatedly, when he's both in the governor's mansion at Augusta, well, there is no mansion at this point, when he's staying at the boarding house in Augusta, away from Fanny and the children, he has to lie down or do his work with his legs extended. He has... what is his whole center of his body is tender? And
it is. So he often cannot sit erect in a chair, even when later he becomes the president of Bowdoin College. Why, there's a couch in his home, and he often lies down on that couch. From there, he does his leadership.
Was medical science able to help him at this point, or is that developing as the century goes on?
Not really. We don't want to make medicine look like it was back in the Middle Ages. I mean, they did, in fact, save his life, but they could never repair the wounds that he suffered.
The marriage. Fanny has survived waiting for him to come home because so many didn't. However, the marriage starts to break down. Why?
Well, it's hard to understand. Obviously, he was away, as other men were away then. When he becomes governor for 4 years, he lives much of the year in Augusta. She doesn't want to go to Augusta, as you suggested earlier. This is a rooming house. There's no governor's mansion. And whether this distance then provoked a distance in the marriage, something happens. And at one point he writes this letter, "You need to stop telling these terrible things about me to your friends, that I'm pulling your hair, that I'm doing this and doing that." And we wonder what did really take place. At that moment, there's an absence of correspondence on her part, so we don't know her side of the story. People in the 19th century often burned their correspondence, husbands and wives. This was a private matter of their marriage, and we don't have, in this particular case, enough correspondence to really understand what took place.
Was it the wound, Ron? Did he not tell her about the wound?
He didn't tell her enough even about the wounds. That seems also very, very odd that she didn't fully understand all that he was experiencing.
And the risk that he took all the time. All right.
Yes.
And I believe her stepfather's diary is missing these parts as well.
Yes, the stepfather, George Adams, who was pretty careful in writing his diary, in this particular moment, we go 3 months without any entry in the diary, so we don't have his point of view.
I learned from Ron that wound will kill him. He might be the last casualty of the Civil War, but it won't be till the 20th century, so we got a lot of time to go through. All right. He is today we would say he was a progressive governor. He wants railroads. He wants immigrants. He wants education. Does he found Orno? Is he the father of the Orno College?
Well, Orno is where the now University of Maine was first. At first, it was an agricultural college. But although he's a part of this classical Bowdoin College, he's also a supporter of the agricultural Orno College, recognizing this is needed for people in his state.
Running for the second term was unusual. Running for the third term was unheard of. Running for the fourth term. How was he regarded? He's not a politician. He's surrounded by James G. Blaine is alive, for heaven's sake. So we've got some major American politicians here. How does he get on with them?
Well, he is respected, and at one point there's the death of one of the senators, and the thought is that maybe he would nominate himself. I've often been asked on his book tours, why did he not run for a national office? I think part of his growing up ideals was not to promote himself. So although he was effective in Maine, he never actually occupied a national office.
Until I read your book, I often puzzled why he wasn't president of the United States.
Right. Yeah.
Because you start as a governor. It's a pretty straight road for the Republican Party to ride you right through the Chicago Convention to sweep. The Republicans were winning everything from 1860 until, well, you could say Wilson was the exception, but really not till FDR is there an exception to the Republican machine.
That's a good point. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
But I see now, Ron, it was the wound that, that held him back. He was not candid about it, but he wasn't a healthy man.
No, that's true. Yes, yes.
The book is On Great Fields, The Life and Unluckily Heroism of Joshua Chamberlain. We make what we can of the governorship because there's a lot of territory left to cover. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.